Morning.
Morning.
You guys turn in your Bibles, book of 1 John. It's interesting when the world in which we live, in our present country, United States of America, the government is certainly corrupt. And in the midst of that corruption, there are many who rage against the machine, shall we say, who, in understanding that the government that we have is far from what a righteous government should be, who clamor, well, they're rebellious against any form of authority. And you know, there's a problem with that, because sometimes people that promote freedom, if you try to promote freedom apart from biblical principles, apart from God as king, apart from morality in the scriptures, what you're really asking for is anarchy. And anarchy does not mean no government. We have a perfect example here of what happens when there's no king in Israel and everybody does what's right in his own eyes. Might makes right. There's still a government. Those who are able to set themselves up and hold their position. So, you know, just a little word of warning to us, I think, as Christians, it's a challenge to be independent, to be free thinkers, to swim upstream, to want to stand for truth, to want to call out the unrighteousness of those who are in, who are misusing the authority, and maybe, and many times taking much more than what's rightly been given to them. But at the same time, to have the right attitude towards authority. Towards the authority of Jesus Christ, towards the authority that is around us. I mean, the scripture, the book of 1 Peter, you look at that and it deals with, even for those who do not conduct themselves right, the way that we're to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. That's what the scripture says. You know, obviously, there's some places where the Bible draws the line. If they ask you to do something that goes against, contrary to the scriptures, then we must obey God rather than men. But what's our attitude? And this is true for us as men towards the government, men and women towards the government. This is true for us as men and women towards our bosses that we would have at work. This is true within the family relationship of the woman to the man. This is true in the family relationship of children to their parents. So one thing we got to realize, and I think need some improvement on, is understanding that in the body of Christ, there's still authority. That authority is the scriptures. That authority are those whom God has placed in charge over us. And to go around with an attitude of, you know, I'll just do my own thing, really, be careful. Hey, you follow this through the book of Judges and you see the outcome. And not good. You do that at your own peril. You do that at the cost of your own life, spiritually. And so, you know, just for all of us, it was interesting. This last week was at a basketball game, a homeschool game versus a sophomore team of Billings Skyview, and Nolan got to join us, and it was really interesting because there was a lot of. There was a noticeable lack of respect for the authority of the refs, okay, by the homeschooler side. And that's not right. I understand I can see how it happens. Again, free thinkers and people are going to be independent and do it. But man, there's a trap there to fall into. And it just got me thinking about the church. And yeah, that's, you know, the government does rest on the shoulders of Jesus, and we want to make sure we have that attitude of respect for authority. And that's not, the scripture is really clear, that's not just for those who treat us right. Even more so, maybe, I mean, there's more opportunity for those who don't treat us right. So, all right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise You. All we have to do is stop for a moment and think about anything good that we have, and we realize that it comes from You. Lord, we do love because You first have loved us. We know what it means to be a good parent because of the good parent that You are to us. I'm just appreciative, Lord, really thankful for Your marvelous plan, and that before the foundation of the world, that You chose us in Jesus Christ to be a part of Your family, Your eternal family. I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your word, that I communicate it clearly, and that we would really understand what a great love You have for us, that You have called us our children, and that we are. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Working on my favorite verses, and man, we go forever in this book. But this is one of mine. I mean, Jeff and Chantel here today, and they just had their baby. The baby Amaris, right? Did I get that? Pronounce that right? Kind of like Chantel likes, Elena was telling me Chantel likes Paris, rhymes with Paris, Amaris. Okay, got it. All right. But there's something fun about babies being born, and I always, even before the baby's born, I kind of like, I wonder who the baby's going to look like. What if the baby's going to look like Jeff or Chantel? I wonder what the baby's going to be like. Going to be nice and relaxed like Jeff, or a little, lots of energy like Chantel. And then it's fun to see him, and you say, boy, I don't know, there's some things, looks like she looks a little bit like Jeff there. And then, there's over, as they change, I sometimes, like at the beginning, I change my mind back and forth, you see different traits of their parents. I did see that Chantel had posted something on Facebook about how calm this child is. I was like, oh, that's like Jeff, But I enjoy that. Who do they look like? And who do they act like? And who are they going to grow up to be? Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. You guys know this well. But in the beginning, Genesis is that book of beginnings. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Now, I know that this verse is true. These verses are true. I know that God made us in His likeness, according to His image. But I got to admit, something's weird. You look, the weird thing is, we don't look like Him. Now, I don't mean physically. When I say we, I'm not meaning the church here for a second. Of course we don't look like Him physically. That's not the part that God made in His image according to His likeness. I know people are really confused about that, but God the Father and God the Eternal Son, when seeing how everybody seems to acknowledge Christ coming into this world this time of year. Yes, when Jesus came into the world, He took on flesh and blood. But flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. At Jesus' return, when He comes to bring those who are His, He's not coming in that nail-scarred body. He's not coming with flesh and blood. That is not the part that God made us in His image according to His likeness. He made us spiritual beings. But you look at the world around you and say, man, this does not look like God. not look like the Father. Something, the conclusion that you would come to is something's gone terribly wrong. Matter of fact, we might want to do a little spiritual DNA test. Who is really the Father? Hey, something happened in that Garden of Eden. The devil came in when Adam and Eve partook of that fruit. It wasn't just that they were, you know, temporarily separated from God. And it wasn't just that there was going to be some consequences. There was an image shift. There was an identity. You know, anybody read about Target this last week and the identity theft of all sorts of cardholders? And I don't know too much about it, but it doesn't sound real great to me. But here was an identity theft. The devil came in and Adam and Eve allowed him to do it. Twisted that image. From there on, the human race really, well, the way God said it at the time of the flood, my spirit shall not strive with man forever because he also is flesh. Man took after Adam, fleshly, man of the earth is the way that that 1 Corinthians would describe it. He's earthy, a man of the earth. He's carnal minded, has his mind fixed on the things of this world. Now, when I look at the world around me, I do see a lot. Yeah, they look like Adam. Sinner. What's the story of Adam? You know, Romans chapter 5 bears this out. Let's go to there. I'm not going to read all this for the sake of time, but Romans chapter 5. Just read verse 19. You need to read the context if you're confused at all or get to be misled about the concept of original sin. But Romans chapter 5 verse 19 says, "For as to the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Now, what Adam did is he opened, if my analogy, he opened the floodgates of sin, and everybody kind of after him just followed in his footsteps. Earlier, Romans 5 is clear, the reason that people are judged is because of their own sin. But Adam made this normal. And we looked at him as our parents. And, you know, it's interesting, the discussion, nature versus nurture. And really, they both go hand in hand, don't they? Like, we are born genetic. We have genetic things that we're clearly born with. And the way that we look, and even propensities towards certain behavior. It's interesting, sometimes children that aren't even around their parents, maybe they don't see their, they have some of those same mannerisms. They're susceptible to some of the same traps that are put out there. There is some things with nature, but certainly there's also nurture. And a little freebie here, one of the responsibilities God gives us as parents who understand what we're doing to actually train up our children to be aware of some of those propensities and teach them to overcome those things through the power of Jesus Christ and the example that He's left. But for right now, the main point I'm making is that we followed, the world has followed in the footsteps of Adam, earthy, having the same mark, if you will. And I'm convinced scripturally that's that mark of the beast that the scripture talks about in the book of Revelation, that this stamped with sin on a forehead, on a right hand. This is the way that people think, and this is what they do. You know, the world, the heart of man is on evil continually. That's the way it was before the flood. And I look around and, man, that's sure what it looks like to me. The only goodness really that's here is because of God, and when people do go back and at least temporarily acknowledge Him. But man has patterned himself after his father, Adam. Jesus really gets on the Jews in John chapter 8. These are some Jews who earlier it says they believed in Him, but they really weren't doing anything with that. And Jesus challenges them. And these are people who at least have the surface of being spiritual people, religious people. Many people who are religious, guys, they realize that they've got a conscience problem. Instead of going to the source of how to deal with it, they're trying to find a way to salve their conscience. And so, actually, some of the most corrupt people in the world you'll find in the midst of religious organizations. The scripture warns us in the church to watch out for those who would creep in unnoticed. People want to use this for their own agenda. The Bible has all sorts of warnings about that. So it's not just like we're saying, well, the denominations or Catholicism. The Scripture actually warns about within the body of Christ. That there are people who want to try to figure out how to use this. So Jesus says in John chapter 8, He flat out calls these guys to account. He says, you guys are your father the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. And murder from the beginning. Basically, Jesus says, you guys are just like Him. The truth isn't in you. Something's gone wrong. Thankfully, that's not the end of the story, though. Thankfully, God has a plan to redeem, to buy us back, to bring us into our family so that we can bear the image of our Heavenly Father. We can look at that society, we see that, we can take a child from the time they're born and say, you know, Amaris is born and she's nice and soft and cute and inherently good, innocent. So from a just one individual perspective, we can plug this through. Kids are inherently, they have a lot about God in them. You see children, there's something that, at least to me, I see a lot of the characteristics, the nature of God in children. When they're young and they're innocent, before they get warped by this world, but they go through a process, don't they? And the world just destroys them. Unfortunately, a lot of that destruction happens within their own home. Those who are to be guardians, sin is normal and kids get warped and become less and less spiritual the older they get. And so, you know, any of us have been accountable, we've been there, separated from God. We were His children and now somewhere we became children of Adam. We could even go a step further and children of the devil, of the evil one. So how will we ever be able to be children of God? Well, you guys know this. In simple terms, Christ did come. He became a curse for us, didn't He? Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus became a curse for us. He could redeem us and buy us back. That passage here in Romans chapter 5, you're still there. Let's read that verse 19 again. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Jesus came back to be, well, the Scripture call Him the second Adam. The father of another race, if you will, another race of men. So at a personal level, you know, how does this happen to me? And again, I'm just looking around the room and I think we're all aware of this. But people, there's mass confusion out there. People have been taught and all you got to do is believe that Jesus did that. And everybody think, okay, so they think they're okay, but they wander around and they still, you can tell by the words that they say, they accuse them. The words that are preached in behind pulpits all across this country are very accusing. They're being preached to sinners. We're just sinners, we're just sinners, we're just sinners. There was never any new birth. Even acknowledging and understanding that Jesus came and paid a price to buy us back, that in and of itself is not a new birth. Jesus said it very clearly to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I don't understand that. A person can't go back into their mother's womb and be born, can they? Jesus says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. If you look at that, literally, it's you must be born from above. Jesus, in His sojourn on this earth, He looks and He says, you guys, I'm from above, you're from below. There's no commonality here. So, Jesus said, we must be born again. We get to be born from above. That new birth takes place in the waters of immersion. Now, the only reason the waters of immersion are valid is because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's be clear on that point. People take baths all the time, and that doesn't make them be born again. The reason is because God said this is where He does a work in accordance with the price that Jesus had paid. So that's where we get a brand new identity. We're now created in the likeness of God. And Brian, we gotta see that. We gotta understand it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. If Ephesians chapter 4 is a really good one as well. I just encourage you to you know, read back through these scriptures and what it says concerning us. But Colossians 3 verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We've been created in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. Jesus would, or in John chapter 1, it talks about people are born not of flesh, born not of blood, nor the will of man, but born of God. When we're immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, God puts His Spirit in us. He is our Father. We are His children. Now, you gotta let that sink in for a little bit about what that means. With our new birth, everything changed. Absolutely everything. Instead of being strangers to God, and we were strangers to God. Instead of being strangers, now we're His children. You know, let me ask a question. My guess is that this week, most of us are going to have some sort of family dinner. We call it a family dinner, don't we? You're not just inviting everybody in, all the stray cats, dogs, and their owners. It's a family dinner. You're a part of the family. You get invited in. Hey, Jehovah's Witness comes knocking on your door and you invite him in. Sometimes they like to do that on Christmas Day. Go ask for a study. Invite him in. Ask him for a study. But for the most part, that's a family dinner. Yeah, all of a sudden we're invited to a table too, aren't we? To a family dinner. Instead of being strangers, we're children. What great love our Father has bestowed upon us. We actually weren't just strangers. The Scripture tells us we were enemies. We put ourselves at enmity with Him. We fought against Him. We were on a course. Justin was talking about this focal point. Man, we were going the total opposite direction, fighting against everything that God has and that He wanted and what's good. We called evil good and good evil. Rebellious. Basically, we walked out on God. We, all of us, at some point, this prodigal son who wanted to go and waste what God had given us for our own selfish desires. We were enemies of God, destined for eternity in hell. Now we're His friends who are going to get to share His eternal home. That's a big, big deal. What a great love the Father has bestowed upon us. When we were on the outside, we were strangers of the covenants of promise, and we were beggars. We were looking for a scrap of anything among those passing pleasures of sin. You see people do that all the time. People are looking, the way Steve Doty said, they're trying to fill this huge spiritual void with something physical, and it doesn't fit, but they keep looking for more and more. That's a begging, looking for something, for a life to have meaning, to have purpose. I am honestly, absolutely shocked that there aren't more real suicide. I had a lot of spiritual suicide that goes on, but you know, people just have enough fear of death to hold that back. That's where people are. It's the scorpion that bites and people can't escape. Guilt. The guilt of sin. Looking for something. That's where we were, and now we're on the inside. Filled with life from God's Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for that. What a great love. Even in the midst of the most trying of circumstances and in the midst of any sort of persecution we go through, alive from within because of Jesus Christ. Isn't it awesome, guys, to be at peace with God? To be at peace in here, to actually be alive, to have Isaiah, that passage that Justin read a couple verses later, to have that actually apply to you. That we can run and not grow weary. And walk and not faint. There's life. These rivers of living water that come up and fill us. That's awesome. What a great love the Father has bestowed upon us. At our new birth, our name was changed. Our station was moved from earth to heaven. Our position as slaves until death was altered so that we are sons and daughters for eternal life. We have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, have we? We've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Daddy, Father. God chose us. You know, nothing against little Amaris back there, but is Grandma holding her? Only Grandma's allowed for a while, right? And I know how those moms, those first children are. Anyways, nothing against little Amaris, but it's not like Jeff and Chantel got to go through and pick and say, I think I'll take that one. You realize what God did? He came through and He picked. He says, I chose you. I want you a part of my family. This is awesome. What God is, what a great love the Father has bestowed upon us. Does this make any difference in our lives? Certainly should. I look at children around in the world around us. Does it make any difference who their parents are? Go spend an afternoon in Walmart. I feel for kids. Parents are just ruining them. I mean, kids start off good. You'd never believe it. It makes a huge difference in a happy family. You know, the children, they're built for success. They're ready to conquer every day. Does it make a difference when a kid goes out of home to school in the morning and his parents are cheerful and loving and believing in him, that they're yelling and screaming and putting him down and can't believe? That makes a huge difference, doesn't it? Who your parents are. Are the expectations higher of children of good parents? Yeah, they are. But with those higher expectations are examples and tools and help to achieve. I think the biggest difference of all, guys, is belief. From, you know, parents to kids. Like, you can do a lot, kids. The biggest thing you gotta do is you gotta believe in them. You know, one thing I really, really, really miss about my mom, she was awesome at that. I mean, I've told you guys before, but it's true. Every day growing up, man, I thought I was the best looking, smartest, fastest, toughest kid in the world. And I, of course, most humble. I believe that about myself. Was it all true? No. Looking back on it, no, it wasn't all true. But I believe, and what a difference it made. Like, you believe that about yourself. Like, you can do anything. Nothing is impossible. Now I'm getting older and I realize my mom, with all of the encouragement she gave me, she also gave me a lot of her genetics. You know, bad hips and bad, you know. You know what our Heavenly Father... He gives us His spiritual genetics. They're perfect. Well, He's telling us we're the greatest and the best looking and the most humble. We are. So we got Him inside of us. We are children of God. It's amazing. Those spiritual genetics, they're legit. This is who we are. He's given us those. He's given us the example of a firstborn son to show us how it's done, what this looks like, what it means to be a child of God, how this plays out in life down here. I love it. What an awesome thing God has done for us. What a great love He's bestowed upon us. And He's proud to call us our children. He's not ashamed, is He? He continues to give us both the help of His Spirit and the tools and the training that we need to succeed as His sons and daughters. Oh, question. Does Amaris look like Jeff or Chantel? Whose personality is she going to take on? It's, you know, she can come out calm, Jeff, but I have a feeling Chantel's going to spend a lot of time with her. There is something to this nurture thing too, you know. It's going to be a blend of both. You guys said yes. You know what, guys? We have one Father. Right? We need to understand that we have one Father. We don't have to wonder what we're going to look like. God's predestined plan is that we are conformed to the image of His Son. I mean, we can wonder a little bit, and actually 1 John 3 goes on, it's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We don't know what that this body is. It gets transformed, that body of glory. But character-wise, guys, we know exactly what we look like. We look in the mirror and it shines back at us every day. Our Father. This is who I am. This is who you are. This is what it means to be a child of God. God fills us with belief, doesn't He? You can go out there and you can conquer this world. The mission that was spoken of this morning. We can't do this because we're not on our own. We're children of God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3 in closing here. If you've been immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins to receive God's Spirit, you've been born again. You are a new creation. Quit calling yourself a sinner. Be honest if you sin. Be honest. You know, I met Jude. Had to hit the restroom real quick before I came up here. Jude came in and with his little one. I thought, oh, Jude has to go to the bathroom or change a diaper. No, it was to swat this little kid. Yeah, it's finding the voice. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If we sin, the Lord's going to, yeah, He's going to take us in the wherever the most available spot is to, you know, most of the time, discipline us in private. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we're sinners. You can't look at yourself that way. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Now this is pretty point that's going to demand our honesty. What are you practicing? You can know everything and say, I look just like Dad. And if you really look like the other guy, there's some work here. The one who practices sin, verse 8, is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God and practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You understand the picture that God's given us? He's given us His sperma, His spiritual genetics. We grow up to be just like Dad. What more would you want? This isn't a dad who gets old and worn out. Justice, this isn't a dad who gets tired. This is the eternal, living God of love, of righteousness and love. And He made us to be just like Him. 1 John 3, those two things go together. We are righteous as He is righteous. And you know what? We love others the way that God is love, isn't He? And we love because He first loved us. Man, what a great love the Father has bestowed upon us. That we would be called children of God, and such we are. Brother, remember who you are. Look in the mirror every day. Okay? Get that encouragement as you head out the door, ready to conquer the day. And let's, not to steal from my brother Clint Stone, let's represent. We wear His name. Does that make a difference? Oh yeah. This isn't Wilson on the back of the jersey. This is God's Son. Let's represent. Let's live for Him. Let's stand.